Welcome to the Old Tom Dragnet Show. This is your host, Adam Graham, coming to you once again from Boise, Idaho. I want to encourage everybody to please check out our show notes, dragnetradio.blogspot.com. Email any questions or concerns to Adam at adamsweb.us. Also, please note there's a new listener survey, so we'd like to know what you think of the show and where you're listening from. So you can fill that out at dragnetradio.blogspot.com. And also, I encourage everybody to please cast their vote for us on Podcast Alley. More on that in a moment. But first, I want to let you know a little bit about tonight's sponsor. All your important files are on your office computer. To work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CD, email files to yourself, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Your solution is simple. Take your office with you wherever you go with GoToMyPC. With GoToMyPC, you can work on your PC from any other interconnected computer in the world. Anywhere on planet Earth, you use all your programs and files. You can check email, access anything on your desktop or network. You'll never have to worry about forgetting a file or missing an important email. And you don't have to plug up to some, you know, service where you're able to check your email by the web, because I often get nervous, you know, is this legitimate? You don't have to mess with it with GoToMyPC, because you see your own desktop. You can try GoToMyPC free today for 30 days. Just visit GoToMyPC.com/podcast. That's GoToMyPC.com/podcast. We actually don't have a sponsor for the fourth show of this month, so if you're interested or know somebody who is, please drop us an email, adam@adamsweb.us. All right, and speaking of Podcast Alley, I got some comments. Adam, I started podcasting about the same time you started the Dragnet podcast. I've left comments before, and I like it that you read all the comments each week. Dragnet has always been my favorite download. Sorry to hear about the end of the live broadcast. I wish I could have joined with you and others. Thanks for all that you do, bringing Dragnet to us, even on the holiday weekends. I, for one, appreciate it. Well, thanks. And thanks to the magic of recording, of course, we're able to continue on. And, yeah, it was a hard time, I think. It worked for me. It didn't work for, you know, a lot of people who listen to the program. So I think it's going to work out for the best here. We're actually going to, this weekend, end up recording next week's episode, because I'm going to be in Sandpoint, so that way I can make sure that you guys get the episode, even if I'm not available. Another comment, Dragnet is the best. Way to Adam Graham. You do a great job facilitating the distractions of the internet and focusing on the content with a taste of commentary. Maintain your conviction to bring Dragnet to the widest audience available. It's great stuff, and you do a great job. Thanks so much to RJ MBA. We will definitely keep that up. And encourage you, cast your vote at Podcast Alley. That helps the show and people be able to know that it's out there. Got a question here. Hi, Adam. Besides Jack Webb, which other performers appeared most often on this series? Thanks very much for your podcast, Laura Moore. Laura, great question. Of course, the obvious answer to the question is the partners, you know, Barton Yarborough, Ben Alexander, and of course in the 1960s series you had Harry Morgan, but there were some regulars. Some of them is Herb Ellis, who actually when Barton Yarborough, who plays Ben Romero, passed away, actually came on and played Friday's partner for several episodes. It just really didn't work. I was watching an episode, The Big Casing, which actually had Friday, Jack Webb with Herb Ellis, and they were just too similar in terms of actors and characters to really work out. But he appeared on plenty of shows. Another one's Harry Bartell. Harry Bartell, very prominent throughout the show's history, did particularly in the 1960s series, really stood out. Some of the others, Peggy Weber, did a lot of recurring female roles on the shows. There are several others that occur to me, and I would encourage everybody who's interested in learning more on this. These are the ones I mentioned are the ones that just came to me right off, but in looking at the book, but I would encourage everybody who wants to learn a lot more about the series to go ahead and check out. Oh, another one's Virginia Gregg, who did a lot of the female voices. But I'd encourage everybody to check out Michael J. Hayde's excellent book on this, My Name's Friday. And that's actually available for you on the blog. That one is, I think right now is going to be about the second or third post from the top. But great question, and hopefully that answered some of the big ones. Because Webb used a lot of actors the same time, several times over and over again. Because it was radio, I think you could get away with it a lot easier. It does become more noticeable when you get into television, particularly color television, that, okay, we're seeing the same people time and time again. All right, last thing before we actually get into the show is an email. Linda Lou McCall writes, I love your show, but I must confess that I got so addicted that I had to cheat and radio binge, listening to just about all of the Dragnet episodes on another old-time radio website that I found. It is not as complete as I expect yours to be, but I was able to satiate my need for Friday. I will continue to download your show on iTunes, if for nothing else but your commentaries with each show. Now a bit of and that's fine. I know a lot of people, can sit down and do two or three. I'm actually listening to these as I'm going through them. With the exception of a couple episodes that I listened to, previously, the episodes I've played are the episodes I've heard. So I'm experiencing these episodes for the first time as well. But I know a lot of people, it can be nice just to be able to sit down and listen to one right after another. And that can be fun because I've found a lot of great radio series out there that are worth doing that way. But let me go ahead and I'll get to her trivia. There's an episode, it's called The Big Cliff, originally aired on June 28th, 1951, just a few months after my first birthday. I thought I'd heard the plot line before, then I remembered a murder trial here in North Georgia. I live in outside Atlanta. On October 4th, 1997, a woman named Virginia Ridley was found dead by her husband, Alvin, in a small town on the Georgia-Tennessee border. Alvin, the town eccentric, was charged with murder. However, a jury acquitted him after it was found Virginia died from complications due to epilepsy. The exact same scenario 46 years later. How incredible is that? The story of Alvin Ridley has been aired on shows like 48 Hours Mystery, etc. Then she provides a link to the newspaper. This is very interesting that history repeats itself. I definitely believe that. And she goes on and talks about how she's actually been through a very difficult crime ordeal, a personal tragedy involving crime. She says, one would think that I'd be tired of crime after such a personal tragedy. However, the Dragnet shows are classics and a real diversion for me right now. Cops were real men back then. I love the stage business that Jack Webb incorporates into each episode. It's like watching television. I was a bit too young when the show was on the radio, but I grew up on the Dragnet television shows. When we played Dragnet, everyone wanted to be Friday. He was the coolest person in the cast. We learned to walk and talk like him. Everything was just the facts, ma'am, even though I later found out he never said that one time in all the years he was on the air. My daughter is now in the police force and a real woman on her job. Continued success, and she goes on to conclude, continued success with your show. And thanks, Linda Lou, for your daughter's service, and hope she stays safe out there. Well, let's go ahead and we will get started. This episode, The Big Church, is quite interesting from a psychological perspective, as well as I think one area where Jack Webb actually misses his cues on accuracy. But hang tough, we will be right back after the show.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the protect the innocent. Fatima Cigarettes, best of all long cigarettes, brings you Dragnet. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a homicide detail. The life of a young woman is in danger. Anonymous letters and phone calls threaten her with murder. The notes bear the mark of a fanatic. Your job, stop them. Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, March 8th. It was cold in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Captain Steed. My name's Friday. We were on the way out from the office, and it was 6:45 p.m. when we got to Greenwich Street. Number 318.
Yes, gentlemen?
Police officer. Like to see Dr. Small, please?
I'm Reverend Small. Won't you come in?
Thank you.
Hey, let me take your hats, officers. I've been waiting for you.
Oh, thanks. My name's Friday. This is my partner, Sergeant Romero.
How do you do? I'm glad to know it.
How do you do, sir? Hope we didn't interrupt your dinner?
Oh, no. The organist, Brother Reber, and I were just running over a few hymns for the service tonight. Would you come this way, please, into the parlor?
All right.
As I mentioned on the telephone, I'm not much of a detective, but I think something should be done about this matter as soon as possible.
Well, we'd like to get a few more particulars first, Reverend. When did you first find out about these threatening letters?
Sister Dorothy Wilson. I think I told you about her. She came here to the rectory and showed them to me. She told me she's been getting for the last 4 days, and phone calls, too.
Mm-hmm. How long have you known this Dorothy Wilson? Is she one of your regular parishioners?
Well, she first joined my congregation about a month ago. She's been in regular attendance at our services ever since.
Mm-hmm. Is that the church next door, joining the rectory here?
Yes, that's right, Sergeant. Second Reformed Church of the Holy Book. I founded it here about 3 years ago. I've been pastor ever since.
Have you ever had this trouble before? I mean, threats against the people who join your church?
No, never. Never any trouble at all.
I wonder if you have those notes that Miss Wilson's been receiving, Reverend?
Yes, right here on my desk.
Let me see. Yes. Yes, here are the five Sister Wilson got. And here are the two that I received.
I wonder if I could look at them.
Yes, surely. Here you are.
Thank you.
Oh, would you excuse me for a moment? It's about time for Brother Reber to get over to the church. I'd better tell him.
Certainly, Reverend. Didn't mean to hold you up.
No, not at all. I'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
What do they look like, Joe?
Yeah, let's see. Postmarks here. March 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th. Come from different places around town, according to the postmark. There's Long Beach, a couple from Azusa, Glendale here. No return address on any of them. This notebook paper looks like to me this one. Isn't it to you?
Yeah.
And there's this other one here. Looks like some kind of wrapping paper. The writing's not too bad. Let's see. According to the postmark, this is the first one they got, I guess.
Let me see. Dorothy Wilson, you are a sinner and you have led a sinful life. Yet you have the nerve to come into our church and make believe you're a Christian. Spelling sure is bad.
Yeah.
I have been coming to our church for a long time, and it is an outrage to have you praying in our temple. If you don't get out and stay out, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of for good. Look outside.
Sister in the Lord.
Must be some kind of a fanatic. We'd better run all these through the crime lab.
Yeah. This one, maybe. It's typed, and we'll hear you read it. It's dated March 6th.
Yeah, take this as a warning. Bring your sinful body to our church again, and your blood will run in the aisles. A life can be taken when God demands it. It could be yours.
Sorry for the interruption, officer. A few things I had to remind Brother Reber of. Have you seen all the letters?
Well, we're just checking them over, Reverend.
It's certainly a terrible thing for our church. I hope we can keep the matter as quiet as possible.
Yes, sir. I noticed the two different signatures on these notes. Now, half of them are signed, a sister in the Lord.
Yes.
And the other half are signed, it's
Brother D.R. Griswold?
Yes, that's right. The first letter I got was from this Brother Griswold. His are the typewritten ones.
You know anyone in your congregation with that name, Reverend? D.R. Griswold?
No, I checked over my list of regular parishioners twice. If there is such a man, I don't know of him.
Well, we can run that name through R&I anyway, huh, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any suspicions at all, Reverend?
What do you mean, Sergeant?
Well, I mean, can you think of anybody in your congregation who might possibly resent this Miss Wilson's joining your church, maybe?
Well, no, I haven't had an opportunity to think it over in that light, but I can't imagine anybody in our group writing letters like this.
What's her background, Reverend? Do you know much about her?
No, she's a quiet girl. She's very religious. Works as a stenographer at an office downtown. Helps support her mother.
Will she be at church tonight?
Yes, she's here already, helping to set up the chairs for the service. Why, would you like to talk to her?
Yes, if we could.
All right, let's go over to the church. There's still half an hour before services begin.
We're fine. I'll have to take these letters along with us, Reverend. We want our handwriting man to check them over?
Yes, by all means. That manila envelope on the desk, you can put them in there if you like.
Thank you. This one here?
Yes.
Okay.
This way, officers.
How many members do you have in your church, Reverend Small?
162 regulars. Another 100 or so on the fringe. They attend only occasionally.
You mentioned that this Miss Wilson's had threatening phone calls, too.
Yes, that's what she told me this afternoon.
Man's voice or a woman?
Well, Sister Wilson said both. The phone calls usually follow each letter. They identify themselves the same way, Brother Griswold and a sister in the Lord.
Have you received any calls from them?
No, I've been half expecting them, but I haven't had any yet. Here, shall we go in?
Please.
Here we are. Our seating arrangement's still temporary. We hope to have pews installed next year.
Uh-huh. Nice church.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, there's Sister Wilson. She's helping set up the chairs. If you'd like to wait in the choir's dressing room, I'll bring her in there, Deagle.
All right. Thank you, Reverend. Let's go, Ben.
This one, Joe?
Yeah, this is it.
Ought to open a few windows in here. It's musty.
Yeah. What time do you say the services start?
7:30. It's 5 minutes past seven now. Mm-hmm.
Officers?
Yes, sir.
Officers, this is Sister Dorothy Wilson. Sister Wilson, Sergeant Friday.
How do you do, ma'am?
Hello.
And Sergeant Ramirez.
That's Romero.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sergeant Romero, Sister Wilson.
Hello.
Glad to know you.
I guess you want to speak with Sister Wilson alone, do you?
Well, we'd like to have you stay, if you would, Reverend. I wonder if there's some place where we could sit down.
Yes, certainly, right over here in the ante room.
Fine. Fine.
Now, Sister Wilson, there's no need to be afraid. These officers are here to help you and to protect you. See that nothing happens.
Yes, Brother Small.
Hold fast in the faith of the Lord and you shall not fear.
Yes, I will. You want me to tell you all about it, Sergeant, how it started?
No, if you please. Is it all right to smoke in here?
Yes, of course. Go ahead.
You want to care for a second?
No, thank you.
No, thanks.
Ben?
Not right now.
We'll bring it back here if you want to. We've already looked over the letters that you received. The Reverend here told us that you got the first one last Friday.
Yes, that mm-hmm, that's right. Mm-hmm. I've gotten one each day since then. Phone calls, too.
Did you recognize the voices making the calls?
No, I didn't know them at all. The woman's voice was very rough. Sounded like she might be old.
Mm-hmm.
Said some terrible things about me and Brother Small. She called both of us terrible names. Awful.
The same with the man who called?
Oh, yes, sometimes he's even worse. Mm-hmm. None of the things they say are true, Sergeant. Not one word.
Well, I'd like you to think carefully before you answer this, Miss Wilson. Is there anyone at all that you know in your neighborhood, here at church or at your work, who might be doing this? Maybe somebody that you knew a few years ago, some acquaintance?
Ever since it's happened, I've been trying to think of someone. I don't think I've ever met anybody who'd do this kind of thing.
Well, how about a former boyfriend or a girlfriend who might be jealous of you for some reason?
No. I did have quite a few boyfriends, mm-hmm. just casual dates, nothing serious. They were always taking me out, dancing and out to parties. We went everywhere, but I was never interested in any of them.
Well, were any of them upset when you stopped going out with them?
A few of them were angry when I wouldn't marry them, but I don't think any of them would write those kind of letters. Do you think the whole thing might be some kind of a joke someone's playing?
It's a pretty grim joke to go this far. You live by yourself, Miss Wilson?
No, with my mother. I don't want her to know anything about this.
Well, I think it'd be wiser if you told
her. No, she mustn't know. mother's been ill lately, and if she found out, it might upset her an awful lot. She's not well at all.
Help yourself to some of the water, gentlemen.
Oh, well,
really? Miss Wilson?
Yes, please, I would.
All right.
Thank you.
Here you are. Anybody else? Reverend?
Yes, please.
Ben?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
How about some of the church members, Miss Wilson? Have any of them been at all unfriendly to you since you started coming here?
No, I don't think so. A few are pretty hard to get to know. They're shy, I guess. But none of them have been uncharitable.
Then you don't think the threats are coming from anyone in the church?
Well, if they are, I don't know who the person is. The way they say all those rotten things about me. They call me a sinner and a bad woman. Well, I guess I'm a sinner, like all of us are, but I'm not a bad woman. I'm going to church because I want to be born again of the light. But I've never killed anyone, and I've never been a bad woman. You believe me, don't you, Reverend?
Yes, of course I do. Now, don't get yourself all upset, Sister Wilson.
You think that's why they want to murder me, because I'm a sinner? You think that's why?
Please, Sister Wilson, try and get your mind off.
If they want to kill me because I'm a sinner, then why don't they want to kill all the sinners?
Well,
you're going to have a lot of homicides if they try. Together with Sergeants Raines and Bechtel, we tailed Dorothy Wilson to her home. She parked her car at the rear and went inside. A stakeout was placed on her house. The next morning, we took the threatening letters which the Wilson girl had received and asked Don Meyer in handwriting to check them over. During the next 5 days, we checked thoroughly into the background of Dorothy Wilson. We talked to her relatives, her employers, all her friends, past and present. We had no good reason to suspect any of them. We checked out the people at the church, and they were clear. Both Reverend Small and the Wilson girl continued to receive more threatening letters. Some of the language and the accusations were pretty foul. Still, no outward attempts were made on the life of the Wilson girl. A week after we started on the case, we tallied up our findings. They seemed to make sense. We talked it over with Raines in the squad room.
Don Myers is checking those letters and a sample of the Wilson girl's handwriting, isn't he? What's he got to say?
The letters written in longhand are signed to Sister and the Lord, and the typewritten letters are signed Brother D.R. Griswold.
Yeah, I know that.
Don says all the letters were written by the same person.
How's he figure?
Well, similarities in phrasing, same mistakes in spelling, typewritten and longhand both. Signatures on the Griswold letters match the handwriting in the other letters.
Well, they were only dealing with one suspect.
And Don Meyer seems pretty sure of it, yeah.
Well, how does the Wilson girl's handwriting check out?
He's working on that.
Where does that leave us?
You've been on stakeouts at the Wilson girl's home a few nights. Haven't you noticed anything peculiar about the setup?
How do you mean?
Something that didn't fit, something that didn't quite jive?
No, I don't think so. Well, just that business about her car, I thought that was a little out of line.
Yeah, it struck us the same way.
Girl always seemed frightened enough about the situation when she's around us, but when she thinks she's alone, looks to me like she takes it a little differently.
Yeah.
Every night when she drives home, she parks the car in a dark garage, must be at least 50, 75 yards from her house.
Yeah.
I've never seen her look particularly nervous. Taking that long walk to the front door.
Well, sure, the normal reaction for a frightened woman would be to park the car right in front of the house and then hurry inside.
How about all those friends of hers you guys checked out, anything there?
Well, we've been staked out at her house, the church, and the work. You know that. There's not a thing. Checked with some of her ex-boyfriends, too.
Nothing there?
Well, the Wilson girl told us that some of the boys had proposed to her. We couldn't find one who'd admit it. They all said she was a nice girl, but they didn't propose marriage.
Those threatening phone calls are another thing. Both the pastor of the church and Dorothy Wilson got letters, but only the girl received the phone call.
Yeah.
Well, logically, if the Reverend got the letters the same time as the girl, he should have been getting phone calls, too. He hadn't received the one.
Well, it could be accidental. Whoever wants to kill the girl might figure the Reverend would recognize his voice.
Well, it's possible, but you remember that story that the Wilson girl gave us about her mother. Remember that? She didn't want her to know about the letters because her mother was sick.
Uh-huh.
Well, we checked with her mother's doctor, and Mrs. Wilson hasn't been sick in 5 years.
Yeah, how about that? What do you figure?
I think the girl's a fake. Everything we know about the case of Dorothy Wilson, everything we learned through questioning and observation, seemed to point to one definite conclusion. Dorothy Wilson, for one reason or another, was writing the threatening letters to herself. As for the warnings that she got over the telephone, we only had her word for it. We took our findings to Captain Steed and laid out the case for him. He directed us to stay on it for a few more days until we could find enough evidence and testimony to prove out our theory. The following day, Dorothy Wilson received a letter more threatening than any of the previous ones. Reverend Small also received a copy of the same letter. Again, Don Meyer's opinion was that they were written by the same person.
What's doing?
I don't know. Boys got any new theories?
What do you mean?
On the Dorothy Wilson case.
Do we need one?
Well, I don't think your old one's going to hold up.
Why? What's the matter?
She's at Georgia Street.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to kill her.
You are listening to Dragnet, authentic stories of your police force in action.
As soon as we got the report that Dorothy Wilson had been attacked by an unknown assailant, we drove to Georgia Street Receiving Hospital, where she was being treated. Anderson and people from Homicide were standing by. We talked to the doctor, who told us that the victim had no serious injuries. She had two slight bruises on her upper arms and a slight bruise on her forehead. She complained of a headache. While the doctor made out his report, we questioned the Wilson girl. She told us that she'd gone to the Church of the Holy Book at 6 o'clock that night after work. She told us that she wanted to pray before the start of the regular service at 8:15 p.m., We asked her exactly when and where the attack occurred.
About 6:30, I felt a little tired. I told the officers on duty at the church I thought I'd get a little rest before services started, and then I went into the ladies' dressing room and laid down. That's what happened. It was terrible.
Did you see the person who tried to hurt you?
No. I was lying down with my eyes closed, and he must have come up from behind. Put his hands around my throat and started to press tight. It was awful, just awful.
What happened then, Miss Wilson?
Well, I fought as hard as I could. I kicked and scratched him, and I guess I hurt him because he let go of my throat for a minute. After that, he pulled me down on the floor. I remembered that. And then he put his hands around this part of my head, like this.
Mm-hmm. The other officers told us that one of the choir members, Mr. Sherman, found you unconscious in the choir room. Is that right?
Yes. Whoever it was who wanted to kill me, he put a gag in my mouth and blindfolded me, then tied my wrists together with tape. That's how Mr. Sherman found me.
How long do you figure you were unconscious then?
I don't know. It was about 6:35 when I laid down in the dressing room. Mr. Sherman said he found me there at 20 minutes past 7.
Then you were out about 45 minutes, is that right?
I suppose so. I don't remember anything.
Well, what makes you think the person who attacked you wanted to kill you, Miss Wilson?
That's what they said in the letters, isn't it? They want to kill me for coming to church?
Now, your purse and everything that was in it was scattered all over the dressing room floor. Is that correct?
Yes, it was. My money and everything scattered all over. I guess they wanted to rob me, too.
$52 in cash. Is that what you had with you?
That's right. A $50 bill and some change. I don't know why they didn't take it. Maybe something frightened them off.
It's possible.
The officers found some other articles scattered around the dressing room. A roll of tape, a metal box that the tape came in, and a half a dozen razor blades. Did you notice any of these in the dressing room before you were attacked?
No, none of them. I never saw them before. Those razor blades, officer, what do you think they wanted to do with them?
There's no use thinking about that now. It's all over.
I knew I'd be protected. I felt the spirit. I knew the holy light would protect me.
Yes, ma'am.
Will you find whoever did it, officer?
Well, this is just a hunch, Miss Wilson.
Yes.
I think we already have. Before we left Georgia Street, we talked to the doctor in charge and got a release for the patient. Dorothy Wilson agreed to drive back with us to the office to make out a crime report. On the way, she seemed to lose most of her nervousness. She was relaxed, and she talked quite a bit.
Religion's a great comfort to me, Sergeant. I think it's a great comfort to anybody, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Maybe I'm different from most girls, but I get an awful lot out of my church. It's like Brother Small says, you have to be born again of the Holy Light if you really want to live. Don't you think so?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'd do if it wasn't for my religion. No, I used to have a lot of boyfriends. Of course, I don't care for any of them anymore, but when I was younger, they were always taking me out all the time.
Yes, so?
Yes, I had a good time when I was younger, going out to dinner, dancing, parties. Fellows were taking me out all the time. Of course, that was when I was younger.
You're not much over 25 now, are you, Miss
Wilson? I'll be 27 in August. That's pretty old for an unmarried girl, but I'm not worried. You get interested in more important things when you get older, isn't that right?
Oh, yes, that's right.
I remember when I was in junior college, how boy crazy I was. I remember that junior prom I went to. Seems such a long time ago.
Yeah.
I had the most beautiful white dress, Sergeant, with sequins. The skirt was all white and that gathered in here at the waist and it flared out real full.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the dance with one of the big football players. He looked so nice in his blue suit. His name was Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
I knew him for a long time. He's one of the fellows who asked me to marry him. I guess I was too particular. I just couldn't see any of them.
Would you mind if I laid out a few facts for you, Miss Wilson?
Well, not at all, Sergeant. Go ahead, please.
Now, I'm not trying to embarrass you in any way, but since we've been on this case, we've checked with just about all the friends that you've had in the past few years, and that includes your boyfriends, of course.
Oh.
None of the fellows that you've mentioned say they've ever proposed marriage to you. Said they've been out with you once or twice, but that's all.
Oh, well, you probably didn't talk to the right fellows. You probably got the names mixed.
No, ma'am, we didn't. We talked to the right people.
Well, I can't understand that.
Neither can we, Miss Wilson.
Well, what difference does it make anyway? I wasn't interested in them. I wouldn't have married them anyway. Going out and dancing and parties, that's all they were interested in.
What reason did you have for lying to us?
Parking in a car, necking with girls, trying to take advantage of them. That's all those fellows wanted. Some of the silly girls they married.
Oh, I don't...
You discover a lot more important things when you get older, Sergeant.
Well, I don't think that's the point. Why did you lie to us about it?
I don't know, really. Maybe I didn't have a reason. I just didn't remember right, I guess.
Well, are you sure you remember right about what happened tonight?
What do you mean? It just happened. Of course I'm sure about it. Someone tried to kill me.
Might as well park on Spring Street, Ben. Pretty clear this time of night.
Yeah, okay.
Sergeant, I wish you'd tell me what you're getting at. What are you thinking?
Well, there's still a few things that we're not too sure of, Miss Wilson. We'd like to clear them up.
But what aren't you too sure of? I told you everything I knew. I was lying down in the dressing room and somebody tried to kill me. I told you all about it.
Well, you told us you were unconscious about 45 minutes, didn't
you? Well, yeah, 40 or 45.
Well, we talked to the doctor at Georgia Street. The way you described the attack, it would have been just about impossible for anybody to make you unconscious that long by pressing his hands against your head.
Oh, but he hit me on the head, too. You can see the bruise here.
Well, yes, ma'am, I know, but that's very slight. The doctor says that couldn't have done it either. Just a minute, I'll get the doctor.
Can you see out, Miss Wilson?
What else aren't you sure of?
Well, your wrists were taped individually. Now, if somebody wanted to restrain you, they probably would have taped them together, wouldn't they?
Well, I don't know what they would have done. All I know is they wanted to kill me. They said so in those letters.
We're not too sure of those letters either, Miss Wilson.
What? What aren't you sure of?
Where they're coming from and who's sending them? We do know they were all written with the same person.
How do you know that? They're signed by two different people.
A handwriting man checked them over. He says they're written with the same person.
You might as well have it straight, Miss Wilson.
Well, if we're going to talk, can't we do it inside someplace? Please, I'm tired.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah?
I'll see if Layton's fingerprints is finished with that stuff.
Yeah, I'll bring it along if they are. We'll be in the interrogation room.
Yeah, all right.
This way, Miss Wilson.
A man I know used to be on the police force. Nice boy. We used to go out all the time together.
Is that so? What's his name?
Well, that's funny. I don't remember. He's an awfully nice fellow, though. We used to go dancing every week.
Mm-hmm. Here we are. Go right. I started questioning Dorothy Wilson, but she wanted to talk about everything except what concerned the case. Dean Bergman and Leighton Fingerprints had already checked each article that was found at the supposed scene of the crime. The Wilson girls' prints were all over them.
Did you write those threatening letters to yourself, Miss Wilson?
I don't understand. Why do you ask me something like that?
Did you write the letters to yourself?
You know that's not a fair question, Sergeant.
I don't know what you consider fair, but we'd like to know, did you write the letters?
Do you know what it is to pray, Sergeant? I mean, really pray.
What's that got to do with it?
I've been praying all my life. I've been praying hard. Ever since I was a little girl.
We'd like to have your answer our question, Miss Wilson.
I think you'll understand. This is the answer, Sergeant. I can feel the Holy Spirit in my heart. I know you'll understand.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been praying for an awfully long time, Sergeant. When I was a little girl, 6 years old, I was praying. Night and day I said my prayers, but there never seemed to be any answer. I never could understand it because I only prayed for one thing. I didn't think it was too much to ask.
What was that?
I wanted people to know me, Sergeant.
Hmm?
I wanted people to know me and like me, that's all, but it never seemed to happen even when I was a little girl.
Don't think I quite follow you, miss.
You've got to understand me. Nobody else does. From the time I was a little girl, 6, nobody ever seemed to care if I was around or not. I always tried to make friends, tried to make people like me. I tried very hard, but nobody seemed to care. Nobody even noticed me. Nobody ever noticed me.
You mean that's why you wrote those threatening letters to yourself, so that you'd be noticed?
I wanted somebody to care about me, that's all. I wanted them to know who I was. Dorothy Wilson. I wanted to walk down the street and have people nod and have them say, "That's Dorothy Wilson. There goes Dorothy Wilson." Just for somebody to care, that's all, Sergeant. Just for somebody to care.
Well, then the whole thing's purely your imagination. You wrote the letters to yourself, and you pretended somebody attacked you. And all the rest.
God told me to do it, Sergeant. He told me to make myself noticed. To stand up and make people know me. I'm sorry for it now, but it didn't hurt anyone, did it?
Well, ma'am, you had an awful lot of people working for nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry. was so nice while it lasted. People looking after me, caring about where I went, what happened to me. It's the first time anybody ever really noticed me.
It was that important to you?
People knew who I was. Dorothy Wilson. They all noticed me. I feel better now that it's over. Oh, there's one thing I've got to tell you, Sergeant.
Yes, ma'am.
Remember driving here in the car I told you about that junior prom I went to?
Mm-hmm.
The time I had a beautiful white neck dress with a full skirt, the beautiful new white dress.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am, I remember. What about it?
Well, it was really pink burgundy, an old dress. I knew you'd find out. That's why I had to tell you.
Yeah.
I didn't want you to think I was...
The story you've just heard was true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
In a moment, the results of the trial. Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
By her own admission, Dorothy Wilson was guilty of filing a false crime report, a misdemeanor. She was released into the custody of her mother. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases transcribed from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police, W.H. Parker.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. I'll try and be short on this end. For some reason, when I actually sat down and I planned like suggested, I ended up dragging on the commentary on the first part. But I wanted to go ahead and there is one thing that Webb, who is, you know, notorious for his dedication to accuracy, seemed to get wrong. His Protestants didn't sound a whole lot like Protestants. When Catholics are portrayed on the show, Webb as somebody who was, you know, came from a Catholic mother, seemed to be a very, you know, big, you know, expert, and, you know, things would at least look correct. Here, you know, he tries to be very generic about it. Obviously, he's wanting to avoid publicity for the church or some type of lawsuit. But really, it seems kind of inaccurate. It almost makes you wonder. You know, I'm reminded of the story of how Dragnet started, where this police officer, you know, met him on the set and said, you know, you don't do police officers right. Nobody does police officers right. Why don't you do a series about the way it is really is? And, you know, of course he has, you know, the famous conversation in the back of a car where he's doing a ride-along and tells the officers to talk like cops, to start using cop language so he knows how cops sound and talk like. You know, it would have been nice if there had been, like, a minister who was a consultant. And then we would have had, you know, and sooner or later, you know, he'd be there with two Protestant ministers who say, okay, talk like preachers. And we'd have Dragnet for preachers. But... regardless, Webb does quite a few episodes there where you can tell because he also does some very positive episodes with religious people in a very positive light. But he does have an issue, and it does seem to be something that he notes when people use religion as an excuse for, you know, bad or even, you know, in this case, horrid conduct. And you'll see that time and time again throughout the series. Again, there are many great episodes that are very respectful towards religion. There was the one episode where Passover Seder was done, and there's, of course, the big little Jesus. But he tends to, with no disrespect for religion, have some ish, you know, the character who uses religion as an excuse is, I think, a very fascinating one to Jack Webb. The other interesting point here that you notice here with Webb and the way the shows do, it doesn't just teach you how police officers talk. It teaches you how they think. And how they make deductive reasoning. And, you know, I think that the big deductive reasoning, you know, up to that point, you take a look and it's, you know, it's Sherlock Holmes. It's the basic, you know, basic idea where you see some basic things and you make a huge series of almost computer level calculations is what Holmes did to reach an astonishing conclusion. Here, I think deductive reasoning comes in. It comes into the life of the police officer, particularly detective, on a day-by-day basis. And it shows you how they think as students of human behavior and students of what is expected and how they figure out that something is going on. It's not as complex as, as I noticed the soil on your shoes matches that one might find in Hawaii, but without doing any soil analysis. But it does, involve this deductive reasoning. How do people react? Is a woman who is genuinely being hunted down going to go ahead and park so far away from the building? And it kind of reminds me in a way of another detective series I'm very fond of, and that's Columbo. Columbo often uses these very basic things as deductions. A criminal and clever criminals who, think they've got it all figured out, their fatal flaw often comes down to the fact that they attract his attention through something small. Like when they show up in response to the police, when they turn on a tape recorder. These type of things are key. And I think in some way, when you take a look at the modern mystery, whenever deduction is used, and whenever we see how police officers think, I think that you can chalk that one up as another one for Jack Webb. All right, well, that's it for this edition of the Old Time Dragnet Show. We will be back on next week, so look for another download. For now, though, this is Adam Graham, signing off.